Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live.
Jenna Archidiakonov's first job at 14 was slinging chili dogs and root beer floats at Cook's Drive-In. Let's just say she's come a long way, baby. Today, she, alongside her family, chased the dream of opening her own Amore Trattoria Italiana, too many to name. Accolades grace her mantle, and of late, she's been on a roll giving back to her community, both monetarily and in service. She is fluent in Italian, but we ask her to be gentle and talk to us in English. Welcome to this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm just going to call you Chef Jenna.
That's fine. That's what everybody does.
Because your name is Italian, I trust.
Yeah, my husband's is. I'm a big DeVries. You know, four pages of the phone book when I was growing up were DeVries, and I'm one of those.
Wonderful. Now you've moved to the alphabet of A, so yes. There we are. So do you serve a type of chili dog or root beer float at Amore honor of your beginnings?
No. But, you know, sometimes I'm tempted to make a root beer float. I love root beer, and we have gelato at the restaurant, so I could make a salted caramel root beer float with a gelato there. Would be good.
Whatever the customer wants. You are all about customer service. Let's get this out of the way. Why all the pink?
Pink is the color of unconditional love. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I'm a big supporter of being unconditionally loving to everyone. And I would love to see that happen more often, especially right now in our world. We could use a little bit more love, and I miss hugging people really bad. So
how does that pour over into your work?
Well, I think I just have a lot of empathy for people right now. This year has been tough. I've heard a lot of very sad stories. You know, people message me with things that are going on and ask for donations of food or just pick me up ideas. And so that's where my new 501c3 nonprofit came from, is noticing that people really need hugs right now. So food hugs is a thing as of last month.
Nice. Let's get into what pays the bills. Yes, your first job at 14 was in the restaurant business, and today you are in the restaurant business. What happened in between?
Nothing. I went to college. I have a degree in art from Michigan State, and then I couldn't get away from restaurants. It became my passion, and I tried other jobs, and I just couldn't do it. I love the restaurant life. Even after the year we've had, I still love the restaurant life, and I don't think I will change it. I think this is what I'm going to always be doing.
Wonderful. So what is the role of a restaurant owner in these times?
Oh, geez. What isn't the role? Right now, I feel like we're doing everything. We're making sure our staff has a job. We never closed one time during COVID. We were open every single day for a while, right after we were supposed to shut down indoors. We opened for 7 days from 4 to 7 doing takeout. We wanted to make sure our staff was covered. They're our family as well. So we made sure they at least had one good meal, and you know, one meal at Amore is too. So we just want to make sure everyone was taken care of. And then after we made sure they were taken care of, we wanted to make sure the hospitals were taken care of with food. So we would surprise them with meals and EMTs and the local fire stations and the police departments. And then it just grew from there. And it was so rewarding and so fun to do. And people started seeing that we were doing that and started donating food so we could continue to do that. And then Mike Rowe donated $10,000 so we could continue to do that. So it was kind of a whirlwind, but a kind of an awesome butterfly effect.
Why is your community so important to you?
They're the people that, you know, are surrounding us every day, and we want to make sure that they're doing okay. So just basically that. I just want to see more people smiling. I want to make sure we're all okay mentally and physically. It's been a hard mental year, so I'm really big into helping out other nonprofits like Vani, who runs I Understand. She's a good friend of mine, and I've learned a lot from her watching what she's doing and kind of taking the stigma away from mental health. And we have a long way to go with that. A lot of things are happening right now because of such a long year of being kind of cooped up, that we really, really need to focus on that too. So just being aware of what everyone's going through right now, it's really important to just be kind. You don't know what other people are going through on a daily basis.
And you've been taking care of your employees.
Yep. Yep. They're our family. Like I said, it's been a hard year mentally and physically on them, you know, worries of working during COVID, and we're very safe. We've had the whole year. We've had a lot going on as far as temperature taking, just extra work on the staff's part. And so we'd like to remind people to show grace when they go out. We're very short staffed right now. I don't know if you've heard, but every single place in town, some of are closing because they don't have staff. Not every day, but losing a few days, which is horrible when we have the business, but we don't have the staff to cover that.
So what is the secret to a success in a family business?
You know, it's hard to run a family business, but it's also rewarding. You know, last weekend, both of our girls were working. Jada was at the hostess stand. Joy was doing dishes. They prep. They know what a family business is. They see us working. And I think that's going to provide them with some good work ethic in the future. And we noticed that it's hard to find people with good work ethic right now. I can't really understand why. I would like to know why, but learning that working will give you money and how much the value of a dollar is, and you're like, what? This is all I made? You know what I mean? Or, you know, okay, this is what I need to do to build up money for a car or gas, or what it's like to actually grow up and have a place of your own and a car and insurance. You know, those are all things we really need to talk about with our kids. And it's important for us to show them, you know, bills, medical bills, all the things that adults have to pay for. So they know, wow, this is really what's going to happen to us someday soon.
Can you leave work at work?
No.
It's hard. And is that okay?
It's fine. I mean, there are days where we're so over it that we just say, hey, we're not going to talk about work again tonight. But, you know, it's hard for it not to creep in once in a while. When we're at home, we have to talk about scheduling or who isn't showing up today, or, you know, do we have to add extra people on the schedule today? You know, just stuff like that. But it's we've always worked together, Maurizio and I, since the beginning, since we met. So we're so used to it now. It's just kind of a thing.
But we don't find pink on him,
Maurizio. Yeah, no, no, checking. He's very much a background guy, and he's an awesome guy, but he prefers to stay in the background and let me shine, and I appreciate him for that. I mean, sometimes I wish that he would kind of show his awesomeness, but he's just, after so many years in the industry, he's fine being in the back doing all the paperwork and kind of hiring, firing, coaching, counseling, and all that fun stuff.
Speaking of accolades, in your introduction, you've been on TV.
I have, a couple times, but yeah, the one people talk about the most is, actually recently it's the Mike Rowe Returning the Favor, but also Guys Grocery Games was really fun on Food Network. They fly you out to Santa Rosa where Guy lives, and his studio is nondescript, and they actually like cover up the van so you can't see where going. The actual studio is like a grocery store. It's amazing. And I actually got to be on the Halloween episode that year, which is awesome because it plays often and every year on Halloween. They just go through all the episodes on the Wednesday before Halloween. And I love Halloween, so it was perfect. I wanted to dress up as a fork, but they said it would get in the way of me cooking. But it was a hilarious costume because I knew it had to be something nondescript because of all the copywriting rules. So I ended up being like Pinky from Grease, kind of 50s thing. So yeah, it was really fun. And we got to meet Guy a little bit before because we were all nervous to meet him. And he was a great guy. Really, really nice guy.
I have to ask, how'd you do?
That's a great question. A lot of people ask me, but my answer is always this: please go watch it. I don't like to tell you what happened. I want you to see what happens. And, you know, local TV all the time but I miss it. I haven't been asked to because of COVID for a long time. So I can't wait to get back to normal, a little bit normal, so we can go back into studios and see all our friends there.
Yes. Would you describe your earrings?
Yes, my earrings are always a fork and a spoon. My friend Mary Sigerski made them for me in the beginning of Amore, and I wear them every day. She's actually had to make me new pairs because I've worn them out. But I also have a fork that I got on my neck from Lake Como, Bellagio, and she just made it into a necklace for me. It's fun.
You drive a hot pink, fill in the blank.
Infinity.
Sparkly car.
It's sparkly, yes. Wow. My friends at Label Motorsports, Justin, wrapped it for me last year, and it's the most fun car to drive on the planet. It's Wonderful. Happy, it's sparkly, and no one can say they don't see me. if we're driving, you know, they see me.
Now, this is an odd fun fact. You are a vegetarian.
I am. I have been since high school. A lot of people don't know that.
Why vegetarianism for you?
So in high school, I was in a physiology and anatomy class. It was like one of the toughest classes in school. And the only reason I took it is because I have an art degree and my art teacher wanted me to learn the muscle and bone structure so I could draw it better, which I thought was genius. But my tennis coach's husband and the boys basketball coach was the physiology anatomy coach. He was also our driver's ed coach. You know, the high button up shorts with the snaps. That was Mr. West. He's such a character. Hi, Mr. West, if you're listening. He made us dissect a cat. And so during class, when we were doing that, it hit me. Wow, I'm eating animals. And when we opened up the cat, it looked like a chicken breast. And I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. It just, something clicked in my head and I was done.
Yes. But let's dispel any myths. I can walk into a moray and get myself some meat.
Oh, of course. I love cooking it. Don't get me wrong. I don't tell anyone they need to be vegetarian. This is a personal choice. I love cooking meat. I learned to cook it from my mother-in-law. She taught me how to make rabbit. That's on our menu. And once you do something a million times, you just get good at it, right? Also, my husband is very particular and he's the test taster. And if it's not right, he will make me fix it. But after so many years of doing it, you just get used to doing it. So we have plenty of meat. We have local lamb from S&S Lamb and their rabbit is from them there as well.
Yes. Talk to me more about your nonprofit called Food Hugs.
Yes. We just started the nonprofit called Food Hugs about a month and a half ago after kind of thinking about it for a while. We started doing something called Tip Back Thursday in January, and we've given back $41,000 in $1,000 increments to local restaurants in about 3 months. So it's been really exciting. People can hashtag Tip Back Thursday if they need a feel-good moment and watch the videos. I'm also on TikTok. I think it's Chef Jenna Archidiacono on TikTok, and I always post the videos of us giving back money and the surprise on people's faces or tears or, I mean, it's just a very emotional moment for me to be able to give that and for them to be able to receive it. There's been a lot of moments, beautiful moments, and I've met a lot of amazing people doing this that I didn't know before. And I thought I knew a lot of people in the industry, but so many more people I get to meet.
So say something to us in Italian.
Cosa vuoi che ti dico?
Obviously, I don't know what you said.
I said, what would you like me to say?
I think that'll do the trick. Did you learn that growing up? Or
no, I learned by living there with Maurizio and his family when I moved over there for about 3 years after we got married. 3 years I lived there. We had a cute little apartment that was one of Maurizio's brothers, and he moved to another place. We were one of the only people in our friend group that had a garden. We had a fig tree, we had rosemary bushes, we had kiwis, we had a cute little garden, we had an awesome little grill. And now in Italy, that's hard because most people live in apartments there. And it was hard for me growing up in a house with a yard to live in a small, compact space. But it was also when the euro started. So they changed lira to euro, and a lot of the countries started to be, think they were going to be smart and make everything. So it was 2000 lira should have been 1 euro, and they didn't do that. They just kept it at 2 euro. And so everyone who was making money was making half of what their salary was. And it was hard to survive at that point at all. And Maurizio and I both had jobs. I was working as a English teacher, ESL. And they hired me on the spot because I had an American accent and not an English accent, because most of their teachers were from England. I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't a restaurant work. So I was ready to come home. And if I was going to have babies, I wanted to make sure that I understood the language well enough with the doctors that were there. And I was still learning Italian, so I felt more comfortable here. But Maurizio's very homesick. I mean, his whole family, he's one of 11 and I'm an only child. So it's a hard decision to make. And he's ready to, you know, retire and live half the year here and half the year there. That will happen sooner than later, I think.
Are you, Chef Jenna, being watched by younger chefs, specifically women, as far as finding a brand, having a work ethic? Do you realize you're being watched?
I hope I'm being watched. I always throw it out there for girls who want to come and spend a week in the kitchen with me or a day. I would love to show them around, show them what my days look like. I mean, that's huge for me. I would love to be a mentor for anyone. I have a couple people right now. And one of the things Food Hugs does is a scholarship for a female who wants to be a chef or an owner someday. So hopefully by September, we'll have enough money raised to leave a big check on someone's doorstep for their college.
Do you see your daughters entering this profession?
No. I think they see how hard, how much work it is, how hard it is, how much time it takes away from family. And we're glad that they're at the restaurant so we can hang out a little bit more. This year has been an eye opener. The silver lining is that we had a lot of time to hang out and have family dinners every night because we were open 4 to 7. And my little Jada said the other day, I really loved it when we were all home for dinner around 8 o'clock as a family. It's such a big thing to have a family meal at least once a day where you can just put your phones away and talk about your day. And I think it's really healthy for not only parents, but for kids to just sit around a table and chat and talk about what's going on in the world. We have a lot of big discussions during those, and they're really fun discussions and interesting and intelligent discussions about the world. And I love that we had that time this year.
And that's real home cooking. That's not takeout from Amore, is it?
No, we cook. All of the family cooks. Actually, my girls can really cook. My oldest one especially just made fresh pasta as a snack after school last week.
Yeah. Could be worse. What's next, Chef Jenna? Your mantle's full. Can you carve out something next for you, your family, and your community?
You know, that's a great question. Continue to build on Food Hugs. That's my step. Continue to feed people amazing fat pieces of lasagna, arancini, all those things, and continue to just spread smiles, hopefully enjoy to the community as much as I possibly can.
What's a quote that gets you motivated and can get us motivated?
Gosh, a quote. Mine is just, I have a couple that I can't say on the radio, but and my staff knows what I'm talking about. But mainly, my big one is be kind.
What's for dinner tonight?
Actually, tonight, my friend from... She's actually from the UP, went up to visit her family over spring break, and I begged her to bring me back some pasties from Roy's in Houghton. So I'm so excited. I thawed one out before I left home today, and tonight I'm making a pasty. Now, my question to you is gravy or ketchup?
I'm going to go with ketchup.
Okay.
Is that okay?
It's a big fight up there.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Shelley Irwin.
Produced by Women About Women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. It is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.